Welcome, everybody, to episode 110 of the You Can't Comp This NBA Trading Card Podcast. This week is not our normal shtick. We are joined by the lads across the ocean, Carl Morey and Paris. Probably more correctly, what I should say is we joined them on their show. So I just want to thank the lads so much for the invitation to join us. Carl has been working on a project for quite a few months now where he has catalogued and then rated the top 50 NBA players. We wanted to break down and discuss the results that came back in from that. So that was this week. If you are unfamiliar with the lads from across the pond, we often have long-ranging conversations that often will segue into all different branches and topics of conversation. So this was a two-hour podcast, which I'm going to break down into episode 110 and episode 111. So before we do kick off, I really should thank a couple of people in particular. So, of course, EJ Cards for keeping our lights on pretty much since day one. So thank you so much, guys, at EJ Cards. And October the 22nd, that's literally a week from today, they'll be holding their Traders Day shop number 3, 2 to 4 Whitehorse Road in Blackburn, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. for that. Free drinks, free snacks all day. Designated kids trading zone, which will be staff supervised, so kids can trade freely and also not be worried about getting ripped off there. NBA mystery boxes, NFL mystery boxes, discounted singles. The singles boxes are fantastic, definitely worth a look there. And the return of Carson's Monster Halloween mystery boxes. So if you are into Pokemon, definitely go down and check that out. So that's the 22nd of October. So without further ado, let's kick off this episode and let's get into it. Thank you so much for listening and I hope you enjoy.
Yes, it's been a while. How's things going, Russ? Yeah.
We're all very well on our end. And I think in terms of the podcast growth, it's been, I think it's going really well, you know. And so it's really hard to sort of measure success sometimes because when you look at your numbers, you think, oh, you know, it could be this, or and you hear other people, you know, doing this and that. But it's also about expectation too, you know. So we read something that said most people that are self-funded don't get past 20 episodes. So we're up to 108 or 109. So you know what I mean? Like you take those small wins. And then I was reading something the other day that said, if you have 10,000 downloads, you're in the top 50% of all podcasts.
Nice.
And we just clicked over 22,000, something like that.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah. That's so do you know what I mean? Like it's all relative, isn't it? And then probably the other big thing, and this is a little bit of a plug at the same time too, we've been asked to speak at the Hobby Hangout. So we'll be live podcasting from that. And that is on the 19th of November. So if you are in Melbourne, come down to the Melbourne Pavilion and, you know, obviously come and say hi to us. But it's a very well-oiled, well-organized machine now. And the gentleman is Matthew Payne, who organizes it. And his background is organizing like the big Pokemon event. So essentially he's taken that previous experience and he's crossed it over to cards. And yeah, they've been going really well. And he takes it all over Australia too. So it's not just like a Melbourne show. It's, you know, Sydney and they go up to Brisbane. I think they've been to Tasmania too. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Any rough ideas on numbers that come through the doors there?
Look, I'm not sure, but I know the last couple have sold out. So if you know, if you don't get a ticket, you can't just go to the door and pick one up.
Yeah.
That's a good sign.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd probably say in general though, you know, if this one doesn't sell out, I wouldn't be shocked because they're getting bigger and bigger spaces each time. And probably things in the economy do seem like they've slowed down just a little bit. So do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Let's just say this one doesn't sell out. I don't think that means, you know, it's not a success. It's just that they've got a bigger venue and, you know what the economy's like. I'm guessing yours is probably about the same as what we're doing at the moment. It's all pretty slow at the moment. So yeah.
Definitely slow.
Yeah.
It's been a slow year, I think, overall in the card world, but you know, things are just around the corner. I think we'll spice things up with the old Fanatics and, you know, new set of cards to come out for the upcoming season and the season 2 weeks away. So,
yeah, look, that could be something that's impacting people's slow spending is that maybe they're holding out Fanatics to come on board. And I don't think that's probably the case. I think it is like a financial thing. Like fast, it's the interest rate. That's what's really squeezing people. But probably, so this is a bit of a leading question, actually, and I would like to chat to you guys about this. I think people have been forced to look for other ways to enjoy the hobby other than just buying into breaks or buying singles. So where do you guys think people have taken other opportunities, or where have yourselves, have you taken other opportunities inside the hobby to enjoy it?
Yes.
Yes. Well, not, to be honest, nothing's really changed for me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Same old thing, battling to find things to buy. So I've been buying a few more Brandon Clarks and a few more sort of local bits and bobs that sort of pop up. But I would say there's probably more newer people joining the group and getting rid of maybe the cards that they picked up in the COVID era, or, you know, just aren't necessarily in it for the long haul, maybe just dip the toes in, thinking they were going to make a million with Zion or I don't know, something, right?
Yeah.
And I think those people were kind of shaking out a little bit. I mean, I think probably the thing that'll keep us going is the season's not too far around the corner. So I think
pre-season's kicked off, yeah. And it's been really cool so far, actually.
Hopefully people will just get a bit more back into the game itself, you know, and just being a fan of the game. And, you know, I think that will help drive you know, a bit more interaction in the group, in our group. I mean, I think the most popular post, I think, that I've done in ages was just, I do them sort of periodically, just asking, you know, what people do for jobs and, you know, what everyone does and other things that they collect. And, you know, you just start one of those and pretty soon you got 100, 200 comments of people just telling everyone about themselves and what they're into. And, you know, and it's cool because it just comes back to the core part of a community that people are interested in, everyone else in it. And, you know, we're here regardless.
Yeah, building the community. Yeah, for me, probably definitely my buying has slowed down as it has over the last couple of years. But what I've sort of liked doing is going back and sort of organizing my massive collection a bit more, you know. So it's like
people not bothering to sell Detroit cards anymore, is it?
Yeah. So I've been selling quite a few on the Facebook group, also going back to the sports card trade day that Tim organized the last couple of times. So sold a few cards there too and traded a few too.
Yeah.
It's nice. So yeah, it's just cool to go back through the collection, sort of thin it down a little bit more, you know, it's even with my Pistons collection, just go, okay, do I need like 5 autos of this guy? Now let's slim it down to 2 or 3 that you like. And
then are you trading up in that incident? So you're trading, say, 4 of those and you're picking up like one really nice one? Is that your plan, slowly
doing it, you know? Yeah. I'm a very patient collector. I don't need to rush out and finish a set, you know, within 2 weeks of that set coming out. You know, it might take me years for something. Some, but I've heaps of half unfinished sets. So to me, it's just, I don't think I'll change. Yeah, haven't changed too much, really.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, it's, I don't sort of go by the current trends. I just do my own thing, you know. So yeah, but enjoy it. Just keep going through the collection. And yeah.
Well, we haven't really had releases coming out either for a bit. Yeah. So, you know, we're in a bit of a dry period and most of the news about releases has been bad with tops and just them doing dumb stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. I think we're just in that lull, you know, before the game starts filling in the gaps and the releases of the new crop sort of start coming out and people maybe start getting a bit more fanatical, as Carl was saying. Who knows?
Yeah, Wimby would too. Wimby with this release, that's definitely going to spice things up, I think.
Yeah.
So him versus Chet in that preseason game had a few people talking, which was
yeah. Cool. So can we talk about that? Because I actually watched that game and I thought it was actually fascinating because the amount of skill that Wemby's got is crazy. Like, it's just amazing how skilled that guy is. But the thing that I really took away from the game was Chet, because he was super competitive. I'm not too sure if you saw or were watching like the sequence of scoring. So it was almost like if Wemby scored, you Chet, almost knew the other end, he was going back to try and like dunk on him. Like, that kid is like super competitive. And
well, you don't want to be the poster guy for the first preseason game of Wembanyama. And it's like, oh, there's 40 dunks on Chet or something. He's like, geez, I've got to put something up.
Look, I liked what he did. And, you know, I was very skeptical last year when people were, you know, paying big money for Chet. And I was like, look, you haven't seen this kid. You know, he looks like a bean. But, you know, after one game, like, I get it. You know, like, I think I have to admit when I was wrong and, you know, acknowledge these guys were on the, you know, they were on the right thing from the start. He looks crazy good. And then obviously
they got the win too, right?
Oh, does preseason matter? I mean,
yeah. But I mean, moral victory.
Oh, yeah, for sure. The moral victory. Yeah. But that Thunder team looks like super fun, you know, like.
Oh, it is. It's going to be fun.
I watched a lot of Magic last year on League Pass. I was like, you know, those guys are fun, but I think OKC this year is going to be like, no matter what game they play, you could just tune in for 10 minutes and just watch these kids do some crazy stuff. Like they really play hard too. I like that.
Kit's got that chip on his shoulder. He's always going to be compared to like a, you know, a B minus type of Wemby. So, you know, he's got similar skill sets.
He's very skilled. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's not going to get the hype of Wemby, even though, you know, he was a high pick.
Was he out the whole year? He was
whole year. Yeah.
Yeah. He's basically redshirted.
So it's rookie on. Yeah. It's rookie on rookie, pretty much, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's actually an interesting one. So does that mean he's now eligible for Rookie of the Year this year?
Yes. Because
if you miss it all, yeah.
Simmons and
Donovan Mitchell. That's that Mitchell. Same argument again, isn't it?
Yeah. So Simmons missed the whole first year.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin was the other one. He missed the whole first year, then was Rookie of the Year.
In a I think Chet was playing like he wants to win it. You know, he wants to be the guy. Right. Everyone's like, a lot of people had forgotten about him with Wembanyama coming in. It's like, whoa.
Hang on.
And yeah. Scoot, I think that's the other one where people have been putting money down on Rookie of the Year is Scoot Henderson because.
My boy. Yeah. That looks like a fun team already.
Yeah.
You know, I watched some today. They're starting to gel. They haven't really, you know, they're not wallowing in the sadness of losing Dame or anything. They're just wanting to play.
Nah, there's nothing to be sad about when you've got Shaedon Sharpe, you've got Scoot, and you've got Ayton. Like, that's a super, like, fun running team, yeah.
I don't know about Ayton. I personally can't stand Ayton, but...
He's turned a corner, mate. It's new Ayton.
Put a trailblazer. I was like, oh, no, former number one pick. Going to the trailblazers. No, not a big guy.
But Nurk, I'd take it every day of the week.
Look, I agree. Yeah. I agree with you, Carl. I understand why you don't like him, but I think in this particular scenario where there's essentially no expectation to win, like actually they want them to lose, right? Like, let's be honest. And then they're just going to get out there and like run up and down and just catch.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, just catch lobs from Scoot. You know what I mean? And if he gets 5 rebounds a game, no one cares. If he gets 10, okay, like delicious, you've got 10. You know, I think that's going to be about it for the expectations for him. So
when he's one of the older guys, he's 25 on that team. It's pretty ancient.
Jeremy Grant will be like the oldest guy on there now.
That's like, it's funny what you just said, Paris, isn't it? Like he's 25 and he's old. Like that's still, you know, that's a lot of time even to become a good player. Like, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, Sharp didn't start today. It was Scoot, Anthony, Matisse, Dybul,
yeah,
Grant, and Mason was the starting five. Right,
fair enough.
Williams will get some minutes there off the bench.
Mm. Yeah. But yeah, I like the look of the team at the moment. I think when I was fairly sure we were going to cave into Miami and just take an absolute crap sandwich for Dame, but now Joe Cronin held out, worked some good deals, and they might even still flip Brogdon into something as well. So, you know.
So they got a really good package for him. I agree with you 100% on that. And the thing that actually I like the most is what they then did. They sort of did like the dirty on the Bucks because then they traded like Drew to Boston and like made that competitive. Their competitor even better, and I was like,
mess with Miami a little bit too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I'm just like, that's just the best sort of like GM, you know, evil deed you've just done. Yeah, it's just perfect.
Chef
yeah.
kiss, my guy. Yeah. That was awesome. Everyone except Miami's winning.
It was sort of good now they got the monkey off the back, getting, you know, the Dame things. The era's ended now, so they've sort of got a free reign, you know. Now. God,
I was like, is Nurk gone? Is Nurk gone too? They're like, yes.
It's a good trade for them. They did well. Yeah. And definitely they shouldn't move Brogdon and get another pick. Like that's like another asset for.
Yeah. What was it? 3 picks and 2 swaps. So they could end up, if they move Brogdon too, into another pick, there'll be 4 picks and 2 swaps.
Perfect. That's a fantastic return. Yeah. I mean, not as good as the return that the Jazz got for Gobert, but you know, that's a story for another day, isn't it? Really?
That's the ultimate return. That one.
We have a new sponsor supporting the show. It is the Bang Man, who is a new startup and have been operating since June this year, delivering a variety of hobby packs in a single box at an affordable price. So far, they've delivered some huge hits. The biggest one they've pulled so far is a Steph Curry Signatures Gold Auto to 10, which came out of the July edition. Some comps have been rounded up to about 15k AUD, which was verified by Card Letter. So if you're not familiar with what the Bang Man is and what their product is offering, it's basically an assortment of hobby packets put into a box. At an affordable buy-in, you can then open a variety of different hobby packs. Some of the advantages of buying into a product such as this is that you can sample a whole bunch of different products. Another way to think of it is doing your own break at home. The advantage of the Bang Man's product is you are purchasing sealed, unsearched hobby packs as opposed to a single card repack product that has a huge range in value. Just to make the clear delineation between the Bang Man's product and any traditional repack, when you buy into a Bang Man product, you are getting the guarantee of the Panini seal, and then all of the hits then come out of sealed products. So all the numbered cards, if appropriate for the product, rookie patch autographs, signature cards, and of course those super short prints and case hits. Another key point for the Bang Man product is that they have an assortment of different hobby packs in a custom box at two different price points, one being a gold edition and the other being a silver edition. Each month, the Bang Man changes up the pack so it's not the same constant lineup. For listeners of our podcast, we have an exclusive deal for you. Use promo code YouCan'tCompThis to get a $15 discount off your next purchase. Find the Bang Man on Instagram, the.bang.man, and on Facebook, the Bang Man. Thank you so much, Amir and Team Bang Man.
Well, should we kick into it? Maybe Carl give us a bit of background around.
Yeah, well, we've been planning this one for a while. And just by the way, Adam got stuck on a train, so couldn't make it here tonight. May jump on.
He still plans later to come on, and probably by the way that we're hopefully talking. Yeah, he'll be on. It'll be okay.
He'll be coming in hot, I reckon.
Yeah.
Coming in firing.
Coming in raw.
Yeah, so we just want to talk about our, we call it the player collectability rankings. So we're going to be updating it monthly throughout the season. And it's a look at just comparing players, not just on the court stuff, but off the court stuff and the card stuff. So it's a big mix of different aspects in the hobby about each NBA player and how we're sort of matching them up against each other. So one guy might be a real dickhead off the court, but he's awesome on the court. And how does that affect his collectability? Is a word that I've sort of made up for this. You know, it's like,
you can coin that word. That's totally fine. Yeah.
Yeah. How does that player rate in the hobby? So I think too, we're going to look to see if some more people want to join us in actually ranking the players, and we can get a bit more of a better ranking. So me, Russ and Ryan, Ryan's always involved in across the card groups in New Zealand. He's always has a say on stuff. So Ryan, if you are watching this, cheers, mate. So yeah, I'll go over our different criteria that we've ranked them on. Current form, so that's pretty obvious. Potential achievements, which can be anything from all-star appearances to championships. So personal and team achievements. Highlight factor. So you got obviously a guy like Scoot coming into the league. He's going to have a high highlight factor. Team fit. So, you know, sometimes their team fit, if a guy's on the wrong team, like
I struggled with this one, I'm not going to lie to you. And particularly with the point weighting, like this one was a very tricky one for me. I sort of had to go back and adjust this one a fair bit. Yeah.
Sort of think of it like
Westbrook.
Yeah, Westbrook.
There's no team that he fits on.
On the Lakers, right.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he's a classic example at number 50, you know. I mean, not to jump the
coming number 50, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, he's, you know, triple double, highlight package, explosive, hot, you know, all these other amazing things. Winning stuff, team fit, look, you know, collectability.
So how much does that impact it? So a guy like him coming in 50 shows you, you know. And I think he's still got a good base of people out there that collect them. So it's interesting how these things impact it. So, team fit. I'm just trying to think of another guy who's sort of...
Ben Simmons.
Anthony Davis, like being on the Lakers and the opposite way of Westbrook, right? It's a positive team fit. He's in LA. He can play off LeBron. He can play to his best ability. Like just that aspect, the team fit is really good for Anthony Davis on the Lakers. Off-court persona. Classic guy who's massively rated in the hobby, legends of the past, Allen Iverson. People love them off the court, love him or hate him. He's got that off-court persona. Shaq, another dude, likability. You know, people love collecting Shaq just for his personality. Card desirability. Now, this is an interesting one too. Now, we've all got our own little spin on each of these categories too. So do they have a lot of really nice inserts that people are after? Are they in a Kaboom, for example, or do they not have a Kaboom card? So like Wemby, for example, has no NBA protein cards. So his cards aren't going to be desired because it's got Metro 92, whatever his team was in France. See, I don't even know the name. So
yep.
How sought after are their cards? Like Jordan, like for example, would be at the top of the list. You know, everyone wants, you know, the Jordan rookie. Major desirability across the hobby. And obviously these are just for current players too, by the way. And then the range, like Wemby, it's got hardly any cards out. So you got to take that into consideration. Guy like LeBron, who's been in the league for 20 years, massive range of cards. So he's going to get a little bonus compared to a guy like Chet or Wemby, who's just come out. So,
well, and also LeBron and Jordan's limited signing in the, you know,
that too. Times
as well. So, you know, those sort of golden eras when they were signing on licensed stuff, it's a long time ago. And, you know, that just creates more of a frenzy for their autographs.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, the range. You got like a guy who had signed quite a lot, like KD or Curry. You know, they've got Topps cards, they've got Upper Deck cards, and then they've got the whole Panini stuff too. So,
I think it's an interesting one, though. Yeah. Like you're just saying, like about Kabooms, because I mean, everyone like looks at Kabooms and goes, "Oh, wow, amazing!" And there's some crazy prices going around. But just imagine if they did a Jordan one, it'd just dwarf everything. That would be the hottest thing in the market by a mile.
Well, you never know; it might happen. You never know.
Potentially,
I'm not sure about that, lads. I think this sort of ongoing court cases between Panini and Fanatics is not going away anytime soon. Sorry to segue, Fanatics have been insanely aggressive throughout this whole process, like getting the license off WWE. I'm actually surprised that they got away with that. I'm assuming that's not over and done with yet. And then NFL was the other one too. Are you guys waiting for them to pull some type of power move on NBA?
Yeah. I think they'll try.
You'd have to think so.
Yeah.
Why not?
Sorry, Carl, I completely segued you then.
That's all right, mate. Yep. We're all about the Seagulls. Yeah. So that's the criteria that we've rated all the current players on. And we'll just update them monthly, see who drops, see who rises up the ranking. So it'll be pretty interesting. And it come out really, really interesting to me. There's some names that I thought got way higher in the list than what I ever thought they would have, and some that dropped right down. So tonight we'll just sort of go across you guys and sort of chat about some of those players who you think was a real surprise. And Russ, for you just starting off, what are some names that sort of stood out to you, like, wow, that I didn't think that guy's going to end up this high on this list?
So I think for me, just going back to the start, thank you so much for inviting us into this project. I'm very grateful for it. And I'd also say too, good on you for having this brainchild and then actually executing it. Because I think sometimes when you have a good idea, it's easier to have that idea than to actually execute it. So I definitely doff my cap to you. Oh, and I'm very happy to be involved too. Like this actually was quite fun. For me, this was actually quite challenging. And sometimes it's also about making a decision too. You know, when you're sort of forced to make a decision, you couldn't really dwell on this too much because with all the players and all the cells you have to do. Like, otherwise it was just going to blow out to hours and hours of like data entry. So some of them, what I did was I just made really quick decisions and I'd punch in the numbers. And then as I was going along, I sort of realized that that might've been a little bit too high or too low. And then I sort of just went back and revised them. But I think the one that I had the most trouble with was the team fit. That was the one I was definitely struggling with the most.
Yeah.
And then after that, yeah, it's just a very enjoyable thing. Look, I'd probably say for me, if I sort of break this up into, say, 41 to 50 and then...
Yeah, go for it, mate. Yeah.
Like 30 to... I think that for me is a really, maybe a more meaningful exercise as opposed to looking at it sort of like, you know, number by number, because I think what this really helps me to do is because I think sometimes I get caught up in my own collecting of it's just too much prospecting. And I think what I actually would like to do is start to do a bit more sort of high-end prospecting. So what I mean by that is if you look at the top 10, you've got Steph Curry, you've got Giannis, Joker, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, Anthony Edwards, SGA, Booker, Butler, and Anthony Davis. And if I look at my collection, it's actually possible that I don't have any meaningful cards from any of these guys. And I probably should be then...
Yeah,
using this as a really good template to sort of say this is a really good place.
Yeah, well, it's sort of a reference, isn't it? Sort of. Yeah.
You're a contrarian. Yeah. I like it.
Screw like, those guys.
I see your top 10. I agree with none of it.
No. What I'm saying is, you know, I'm probably collecting in the wrong places, right? And look, probably part of that a little bit too is the way I collect. Like, I've got my main PC, and I really try my hardest, you know, just to stick to that and sort of not flare out too much, because otherwise, you know, you're sort of just spreading cash is all over the place. But at the same time, okay, let's use the example of Steph Curry. I think I've definitely missed the train on this just because of like how expensive, you know, his rookie stuff and autos are. But I think he's such a meaningful player for, you know, my generation, you know, the last 10 years of just watching him, you know, every day. And I should have an autograph of his, and I probably should have a rookie card of his. And the fact that he comes out number one is, you know, just another really good example of that. So that's probably, you know, the part that I enjoyed the most. Look, I think from a prospecting perspective, I think Anthony Edwards is the obvious one to discuss. Like the fact that he came out at number six when...
Hang on, are we doing the top 10 first? Or are we going back, like, down? I thought you said 41 to 50 and now we're starting at number one.
Oh, look,
it's up to you, Russell. No,
I'm not constructing a very good argument here, am I? Sorry, what I was saying was I think what I enjoyed was more looking at it in blocks of 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
Groupings,
yeah. No, that's totally fine. Let's start at the bottom. And I'll finish this Anthony Edwards thing and then I'll go back to the 50s. Yeah, so I think Anthony Edwards is someone that you should be looking at, you know, buying into this year. And I think there's a couple of reasons for that. I don't think his prices have caught up to this top 10 list. And the other thing that really came out to me too is watching him in the World Championships this year. So I think the way that he performed, you know, committed to his country, essentially became the leader of that team, that means a lot, so much more to me than maybe people who else are in the top 10, say Devin Booker, who, you know, who didn't turn up to the World Championships. And then even if you start to go through like 10 to 20, it really does emphasize and, you know, tell you why that Anthony Edwards should be number six. So that's for me, if I did have to pick, you know, one person out of this list, I think for me, it's probably Anthony Edwards. Like that's really
big standout.
Yeah. Why this guy is such like a buy at the moment, I think. Yeah.
It's interesting too, just going back on the money thing, like with prospecting and that, I think sort of the aim of this, this rater or rankings, whatever you want to call it, it's more not more like who you should collect. That's not really the point of this. It's if you're weighing up something to buy, just double checking how much you're sort of willing to spend rather than buying as a investment type of a card. So it's like, okay, I want to buy a nice Jimmy Butler card. Where does he sort of rank compared to a Curry or whoever? Like how, okay, he's pretty close. He's nearly, you know, he's, where was he? He was number nine. We had him. So I think it's a sort of a look across the board of all the players, but then it's sort of giving it that how are they going to sort of turn out in future and seeing, okay, it was worth me spending that money. So like, you'd look at this, for example, and you go, okay, I'm not going to spend as much on a LaVine card as a De'Aaron Fox card. Because all the different things were rated them against, Fox comes out a lot better than Levine. So, I mean, and their prices are probably pretty similar. So would you lean towards getting a Fox card rather than a Levine card? So sort of something like that is the aim of this. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
On your grouping, it's interesting how you're sort of saying that too. Yeah. And there is a sort of grouping when you look at the list of names, eh? There's like that sort of more young guy sort of group than those sort of tried and true vets at the top. And some interesting names in the bottom tier. Who's in that 40 to 50 range? Russ, who sort of stands out in that group?
So 40 to 50, this is kind of a really interesting group for me because it's partly like sort of the sad sacks of the hobby in many ways. So you got Westbrook in there, Bradley Beal, who I think he just spent too much time in purgatory in Washington, you know, being on those John Wall teams. And then they've just been, it's actually really hard to explain. So how do you explain to a layperson why the Washington Wizards have been so bad for this long?
Because they changed the name from the Bullets.
Yeah. Done.
Is it an ownership thing? Is it?
It's the mediocrity there.
GM. The GM.
Is it the general manager? Is it the coaching staff? And they've had a pretty.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sort of willing to be in that mediocrity of the middle, not willing to tank it or go all in and try and win a championship.
Just enough to not really do anything and not be quite be bad enough to get a lot of good picks.
Yeah.
And then giving up on Rui Hachimura last year, like that to me was just
bad decisions.
It doesn't make sense to me on any level at all.
Wizards doing Wizards things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Bradley Beal, unfortunately, sort of earns that place at 49. And then the other one, there's actually three I think we should really talk about here. Porzingis, because he's Boston transition to me. I suspect that by the end of the season, he'll be higher up, maybe even 10 points higher up, because obviously we're talking very small sample size theater here, but I think Porzingis,
they're going to do good.
Yeah. And Porzingis is going to fit in and he's going to contribute and he's going to fill into places that they didn't have last year. I think that's the part that people maybe don't understand about Porzingis' game is actually he can do a lot of different things, and the things that Boston needs, he can do. And so, you know, I like that deal a lot.
And there's a lot of Celtics collectors as well.
Yeah, that's right. They're a very powerful sort of collectors group, and you do get sort of a Boston bump as you get like a Lakers bump. I think that's like a real thing. And then Scotty Barnes. I'm shocked to see that Scotty Barnes is down so low just based on potential alone, because when I think of Scotty Barnes, I think of Desmond Bane at the same time. I think it's fair to put him in the same sentence as Jaden Ivey and Jalen Green. And that's a really wide range you've got there. So Green's sitting at 27. And really interesting for me actually is Bane. So Bane's at 38. So that's, you know, nearly 10 spots higher. And I personally think Scotty Barnes is probably the better prospect out of all those guys. So I wonder with Scotty Barnes, though, is it about, you know, he has probably got as much personality as Kawhi Leonard. He doesn't have a lot of highlights in his game. And so maybe he suffered a little bit.
Yeah.
Using the ranking that was had.
The sophomore slump, he obviously had a down year.
He was off radar for quite a lot of last season.
In Toronto, that's the thing, you know. A lot of the where you are, what team you're on, just does impact.
How often you're on national TV and all that too.
Yeah, definitely. I wonder a little bit too, is the way that they're playing basketball is probably the most purely positionless basketball in the league. And does that actually negatively affect someone's value hobby-wise? Because
kind of normalizes them a bit.
Yeah, it sort of flattens out all the statistics because you've got, you know, four guys that can rebound. You've got four guys that can assist. You've got an equal opportunity offense where four or five people are scoring or have the potential to score in every possession. And so, and realistically, Spicy P had one of the best statistical seasons in league history last year. And that probably took away from his opportunities also too. So look, I'm actually pretty high on Scotty Barnes myself. I think his motor, his body and his skill set is pretty unique. So for me, that's probably, you know, I'm shocked about that. But at the same time too, his prices just went off a cliff last year. So Yeah. And then I think the biggest name in that group is Karl Anthony Towns. And this is a really funny one for me because I think probably traditionally he's done quite well in terms of sales and in terms of volume of sales, but also, you know, just the dollars, you know, signs on sales too. But I'm sort of at the point now where I actually think probably 44 is about right for him because going back to my Edwards take before, I think Anthony Edwards is going to own this team. And for me, having two centers playing in this league, to me, just doesn't make any sense at all, despite the fact actually this preseason they looked really good together. But I think having Karl Anthony Towns chase around forwards in this league is is not setting him up to succeed. So
you sort of just know it's going to end badly.
Yeah. And whether he gets traded or, you know, Gobert gets traded or they both get traded and they just blow it up and they build around Edwards, you know. Yeah, I think if you've invested heavily into Karl Anthony Towns, you might be feeling a little bit nervous in the next sort of 12 to 24 months, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah,
I just don't know how much they can blow it up either, you know, really. I mean, what could they get anywhere close to value for? No.
Nah, they're not going to get the value for a guy like Cat, but maybe a trade for him personally might be a good thing, depending on what team he lands on.
Yeah, like the Aiden situation where he just goes out and he smiles again. You know,
That's interesting. Interesting time for the Timberwolves. Edwards is definitely the main man there. Paris, who do you sort of see in that sort of lower part of the 50 as a sort of standout person?
I mean, I didn't have enough time to contribute to this as much as I probably should have. But I mean, looking at it as if I was going to find $100 to spend, you know, and I wanted to buy a couple of cards, who would I buy? I really like Garland. I like watching his game. I think he's a great player, and I like Sabonis as well. But I mean, if I was purely looking at an investment point of view, I think for the things that we were saying before around Porzingis going to Boston, because he's probably the one on a hobby side and a investment side, he's got all the tools to really make some impact there. If he can stay healthy and do all that, he could be a game changer on a team that is already badass. And that's quite a interesting proposition, I think, on an investment side. Doesn't really have much, I don't know really anything about him or whatever. So that's purely just not a personality, not an off-court thing. That's purely just a game set, skill set, adaptability, potential with Boston. So I'd probably buy him. I like Sabonis's game. I like big all round talented guys. And Scotty Barnes, I'm not surprised he got 46, to be honest. When you're thinking about everything, I just think he had a bit of an off-radar season, and I think people had a lot of high hopes.
Can we go back to Sabonis for 2 seconds? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So why do you think he is at 48? And also sort of a second part to this question, why do you think his overall hobby value is so low? Because
it shouldn't. I don't know.
He's been an okay player, and then he went to the Kings and he was excellent for Sacramento. And obviously I've got some, you know, bias here and the amount of Kings that I've watched, but you know, he's basically, it's actually hard for me to say this, but I think he is the Kings' best player. Despite the fact that everyone talks about De'Aaron Fox.
I think he's the best all-round player. I think he's the most important guy to the team.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's, you know, and I think we talked about this a little bit leading up to this, and that, you know, I think it's an interesting mix of what makes someone a thing, you know, and there's the NBA's littered with people that were amazing players and had multiple all-star appearances and did all these things and received stuff all hobby love, you know,
and the league is crazy deep at the moment too.
I mean, I think there's obviously more people to collect. You know, Sacramento was bad for so long, now they went really amazing, so maybe there's not enough sort of time for people to recognize that he is as good as he is. But I mean, looking at some of the other names sort of further down the list, you know, some part of it just thinks there's such a waiting on potential and all this sort of stuff, where I think he's proved a lot already, and he's not an old guy and he's coming into his prime. So, you know, that's, and I really like his dad, So it's like, I always keep an eye on what he's doing. So, I mean, the three I like in that group are Garland and Sabonis. And if I was doing it with my heart for investing, it'd probably be Porzingis.
Yeah, totally get that. But the thing with Sabonis is just that sort of, he doesn't have a flashy game. He played in Indiana. You know, they weren't in the playoffs. So he just wasn't on the forefront of people's minds. You know, he was called the worst all-star selection for the last 10 years, shit like that. But, you know, he's a damn good player, as you say. Yeah. And it was good to see the Kings do really well last year and make the playoffs and nearly pipped Golden State. So, yeah, I think it's just, you know, been a big, you know, bigs always just take it a little bit tough in the hobby, eh? So, yeah, but really good player. For me, the sort of standout is, but I know the reasons why, it's Kawhi Leonard. Like, at 39, this dude, this NBA champion, you know, the thing with Toronto, but just the injuries and the personality just is, you know, let him fall down this list. He should be way higher for his talent and what he's done in the league, but
people don't have faith in him. I mean, when you're talking from a hobby point of view, it's like, you know, him, Paul George, I mean, you know, the stats around the games they've all played together and all that sort of stuff are just woeful. And that's literally what's kind of happened with the hobby love as well.
Yeah. He's taken the hit in both, yeah. So
yeah, 100%.
Fully understand it. And the other sort of name, for sort of similar, Zion at 35, he would have been like top, he would have been up in the Anthony Edwards spot a few years ago.
Yeah.
But just needs to get on the court. Like,
but he is looking good. I mean, at the moment, all the, you know, he's saying all the right things and all this. But, you know, I think he's one actually in that list where, I mean, just thinking how good they did without him last year, right? If he comes back motivated and fit and healthy and buys into the game plan and is willing to take it as essentially a fresh start and, you know, plays team ball and does all that, he could have a really impressive season and they could do really, really well.
Yeah, it's a very deep team.
So I think they've got a lot of potential, you know. So I think he's probably just, again, a bit of an anger pick putting in that low as well, you know. Adam.
Adam, hello, man.
Yeah, bit of a, like, what the hell, you know, where's all my money gone pick? You know, I thought I was going to be a millionaire with this, these Zion rookies I bought for millions of dollars.
We're just talking about Zion, Ed.
How many Zions you got, Adam?
I think I might have one tucked away somewhere that's, yep. Nah, I'm not a believer in the hype. Either that or I wasn't around when everyone was going crazy over it. And I didn't buy in at all either.
Yeah, neither.
Yep.
Yeah, nah, same.
History has taught me well.
It's taught quite a few people well, I'd say, who entered the game in 2019. Yeah, Adam, how are you, mate? Good to have you on.
It's great to be, and I'm really sorry I'm late. It's been an absolute nightmare of a day, actually, getting back from work. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, you've hit jackpot now, mate. We're all here and we're firing.
And now, so you said you're up to Zion. I've only quickly looked at the list. We haven't covered Luka yet, have we?
No. We're doing 10 blocks. So we're kind of in the 30.
If you're past the 40 to 50 rank, then we are past Luka.
No, we started it.
I see
what you're doing. Okay,
right. Yeah, he's got a 5.
I can see Russell.
He's like, this guy.
I'm not biting.
Not biting? That's all right. There'll be plenty of
try a little harder.
You would be happy with the Austin Reeves being in the middle of this ranking, Adam.
I'm a bit impressed with the way Austin Reeves has been performing, yes.
Yeah, well, let's have a chat about that, mate, since you just jumped in. And we're sort of looking at the middle of the pack here in the top 50. Austin Reeves at 25. That's, to me,
someone explain.
That is high.
Somebody explain, because I don't agree with that. I think it's great that he's there, but I don't know. Hype train?
Definitely. Team USA stuff.
Team USA, but then but the problem, what about the results of Team USA?
Yeah.
My problem with that is Team USA failed at this FIBA World Cup.
Yeah, dramatically.
Yeah. Is he going to be part of the redeem team? I don't think so.
No.
So I think Edwards and Reeves should get basically gifted into that next team because Reeves played really well.
I think he did. I still think he's not going to.
Let's just say he's the 12th or the 13th man, Reeves. I think you need those guys sort of, you know, on the bench to be like the next generation. And
yeah,
Reeves didn't do anything wrong. Let me put it to you that way. I thought the way that he played was, he represented the red, white, and blue in the best possible way. I thought he gave a lot of hustle and played the right work.
In a team that didn't do a lot right, he did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really good. Yeah. I like that.
And Halliburton is probably the other guy too that, again, this is probably just like my personal, again, bias here, but if he's on the next team, like that's the part I probably struggled with the most. Not that I'm picking Steve Kerr apart here now, but Halliburton should have started. And he was just, when he played, was just on point so many times.
Yeah, he's a dog. And that's the thing. I just think that they didn't have the right composition. I don't know. Just
they needed a little bit more in the vet sense, I think.
Yeah.
They lack leadership.
Yeah, the Team USA squad's never going to be built like the Olympic squad. I mean, the Americans are all about the Olympics. That's the one that they want. So
I wonder if the players are all about the Olympics, to be honest, because if you think about their availability, they're all already available for the Olympics.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
are they? Are they really, though?
I think LeBron's
is going to come back.
Yeah, Anthony Davis is committed.
They'll both be injured at the time it happens. What's the bet?
No, they'll talk big, come back. Yeah, we're doing this, get third again.
I wonder if LeBron will play on one leg because I think this is going to be his last season and then he'll retire like in the Olympics. That actually makes sense.
I think he's going to play with his son. I think Bronny still gets drafted, even though
health concerns.
Even with two more years. But I think he's still, after this year. So after this season finishes, he'll be eligible.
Okay. So then that means LeBron has to play two more seasons, though, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Restricted minutes, bit minimum.
Yeah.
I was going to say he's still like he's expected to play decent minutes this year.
Yeah.
He will. I think he will.
He will. What he plays, he'll play. Yeah.
I think he will.
Know. How did Cade Cunningham get that high?
Well,
Is it you?
No, there are various factors.
I would not do that, Paris.
Potential is one of the factors, isn't it?
Potential is a factor.
We skipped ahead. Can we go back to 40s to 30? Is that okay? Because I feel like there's a fair bit to talk about here. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, who wants to do it? Who wants to kick in?
Can I ask a question about Zion while you were on Zion, even though he's at 35? Is there a chance that Zion, the next time within the next couple of times these rankings are tweaked, that Zion's not in the top 50?
Only if he's injured.
When he gets injured, he's going to drop out.
Yeah, we're just kind of talking about that. I mean, you know, if you look at the preseason sort of physique and stuff, he looks fit. If he can stay on the court, the quality of that team will pull him through, I think, as far as the list goes. I mean, all people really want from him is a complete season, I think, and a positive season.
50 games.
Yeah, something like that.
Just a bit of consistency would be lovely.
Yeah, just a bit of, and you know, maybe people can claw back some of the millions of dollars they've lost on his cards. I don't know. You know, whatever it, whatever ends
that,
up being.
That money's gone. I don't think that's ever going to come back. Yeah.
Lost is lost.
If he drops out of the top, shift of revenue ever.
Mm. If he drops out of the top 50 is just a massive shame. It really is. Like, that's Sam Bowie type shit we're talking about here. That's, man, from the height, eh? Like, how many people did just Zion alone get into the hobby, you know, who are still around, even though they might not be collecting his cards? He was a massive influence on that. So to me, that's a real shame.
It is. And as much as we joke about it, I think he's
but how high could he rise if he comes out firing and doesn't miss any games?
So We spoke about that exact thing last week. So my take on that is that if he does play well, even for 10 games, he's going to spike and he'll spike really hard because you spoke about collectors buying his cards, but I think if we're also being honest here too, this is also people that are maybe more casual basketball fans and only know the liquid players and who are also, you know, investing. And so I think, yeah, these, that's the type of cards that they will buy, you know, Ja Morant, Zion. Like who's, if you just have to name five, LeBron, Steph, Ja, Zion, and maybe Wembanyama, that will be like, you know, the top five. So there's no reason. Chet. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Austin Reeves.
I think we need
definitely two hands. Not Luka.
We need two hands if we're going to say that. Like,
this is the year Luka starts to tank. But, not intentionally. I think his prices will just tank.
Let's save that for the later. Come
it's,
on,
it's late night edition.
You're segueing.
I get to swear in the late night edition, don't I?
We're uncensored.
Oh, you get far away.
So, can we just throw some cold hard stats at this? So, the population of his base PSA 10 is 22,862.
Still growing.
98% sad ratio.
Yeah. So we spoke about this actually last week on the show, and he was sitting around the $60 mark. He's actually picked up a little bit. Last sale was 72.
Whoa.
So,
but look at, all right. So let's go back to that. The population count on his PSA 10 is 22,000.
Yeah.
But we even broke it down on the show where between the BGS 9.5s, the PSA 9s, and the PSA 10s, there are over 50,000 cards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's more PSA 10s than 9s and 8s and 7s combined.
Yes.
That's weird, isn't it?
So one time they got printing right.
There's always one. One time.
Well, they were printing money at the same time, so I think they
so they sort of going
they
back
could
to
afford
that,
their quality control.
Yeah, going back to that, Russ, how you're saying that sheer amount, like that's sort of the card range too, or card desirability. It's like there's so many of them, it's so easy to get one. And the prices come way down, it sort of negatively affects.
Definitely. Yeah, and I think that is a reason why he's at 35. You're 100% right on that. Yeah.
Well, but that's the thing. You look at a card that's got a population count of 100 or a pop count, even go more reasonable, 1,000. But 20,000 copies of the PSA 10, that's insane.
Yeah, that is.
So if I look at that list between 41 and 31, so you've got Cade Cunningham, Ja Morant, you've got Bridges, Trae Young, Williamson, Kyrie Irving, you've got Jaden Ivey, which I think is surprising, but a good surprising is that high.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Bane, Kawhi Leonard, Brunson, and Garland. Actually, I think that's a really fun list. Like, that's a really
good
group to play with. I think the two that you could narrow it down to would be Ja Morant and Cade. And if I then had to pick between those two, I'm still pretty high on Cade because I think, and you can reflect this a little bit back to Zion too, like they were very conservative the way that they managed Cade's injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave him all the time in the world that he needed to rehab and, you know, get himself back together.
True.
The footage that came out of him playing with the Team USA B team was just incredible. And he played so well that I was sort of hoping that he'd be then promoted into like their top team and say,
well, he was offered it. He was offered that position, but he turned it down.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So Cade was offered to come onto that main Team USA team and he declined it because he wanted to put on the work for the Pistons.
Yeah. It probably would have been like a rehabilitation thing.
Yeah. Mm. So he's like, no, I got to focus on my team. And so that's, he would have been on there.
Yeah. So look, the Cade prices aren't dirt cheap, but I have to I have to say though that he is someone that you should definitely be looking at.
Cade?
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Who don't we look at in that list though? I got names.
Out of there in the 30s.
I would automatically
Irving's the one that should just be gone.
I would just narrow it down to those two. Like me personally, I think that it's a fun list, but at the same, you know, you can't buy it to everybody.
No, I just think like hobby wise, Kyrie and Kawhi are a struggle for me.
Yeah,
because the potential's gone, right, and the prospecting element is gone. Their careers are set in stone, and they're just
eking out.
I mean, we know how much of a fun guy Kawhi is, but let's be real, like,
yeah, it comes down to that court time, doesn't it? Again,
yeah. And Kyrie just keeps going and blowing up the neighborhood wherever he goes. That's why Luke is going to tank, by the way. Anyway,
Yes, I know where you're going on that one, Adam. Yeah. And I agree.
He is. He's a home wrecker, and he's going to wreck the home in Dallas. I don't know. I don't see an upward trend for Kyrie.
Nah, he would have to play amazing to start climbing up this, and I just cannot see it at all.
Yeah. It probably does deserve a spot there. Let's be real, like hobby value, but it's just the future side of it. Like the future value, I guess, is the in 25 years, if I hold onto a Kyrie card, am I losing or gaining? And I feel like I'm losing.
Yeah, it's sort of like a guy like AI, right?
Mm.
It's similar, but AI just had a good bulk fan base that just loved them no matter what, where it seems like Kyrie, he did have that, but over the years, people just jumped off the bandwagon, you know, it's like...
Yeah, but Iverson was, you know, what talking about practice, man, screw that. But Kyrie's like, the earth's flat. And you know, so everyone's just like,
it's the wrong shit to go on about.
It's like the earth's flat. I'm not wearing a mask. Yeah,
his takes are too hot and a little bit odd.
And people got weary of it, you know.
And Iverson just had the style, and it was the right time, late 90s hip hop. You know, he's just right in the zone.
Iverson didn't burn bridges when he left.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like Kyrie pissed off fans as he left.
Mm.
The Liz, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to talk about a guy who's just out of this rank, number 30. Damian Lillard to me is way too low. I don't know how he got this low.
Okay. Well,
he's dead to me, so I don't mind.
Make your point, Carl, because I think I'm totally fine where he is, to be honest. So
now I think
convince me he's too low.
I think I might have discussed this with you guys before already, a little while ago, actually. It might have been you guys did a podcast on Dame, I think. He's a clutch performer. Like, he's got iconic moments. He's one of the best shooters of all time. He's one of the best offensive guards of all time.
Yep.
With Paris on this call,
what?
Is he the best trailblazer of all time?
Yeah, I'd say so.
There you go.
Mm.
Better than
loyal until I think so.
Scottie Pippen was a trailblazer. Anyway,
I think he's too low. Like, we've got Bam a spot ahead of him. I'm just like,
yeah.
Jalen Green.
Thing with Dame though, I mean, he's a guy that, like, we've sort of said before, like with Porzingis, the Bucks could have an absolutely dynamite year, and he could move a lot on that list.
Yeah.
Very easily. Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be fair, when this list was built, that was pre-trade the anticipation that he was going to be on another rebuilding team. It was going to be
And they weren't going to trade in Miami, weren't going to be able to get empty the deal numbers. Done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. True.
So he would have got a few negative points for that for sure. I think what I'm trying to say here is, like,
he's filed for divorce as well.
Instantly
after the trade.
Literally, yeah.
It was like, bonus I'm on the move. And yeah.
I think what he's done everything in the game that you want a guy to do apart from winning a championship.
Can I invoke the Luka rule? He's got no MVPs. Yeah. He's got no championships. And it's, I don't know, he hasn't been able to get the job completely done.
I'm going to use the Steve Nash rule here. Two-time MVP. People still didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
True.
And point guard as well.
Mm. Well, that's a good comparison, really. Different type
Well, that puts so much value in actually winning the whole thing, doesn't it?
Championships are a big thing. Whether we like it or not, and players say it, you know, like you look at Charles and Shaq, what they're going about, and then Shaq just pulls out the old line. No championships to Charles every time.
Yeah. He's gone. Shuts him right up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it is a big thing. Yeah.
But I feel like Dame's just got no accolade.
He's got all the...
He's won all the team ones. Like, he's done a lot of things for the community in Portland. Did love him.
It's league perception, I guess. Like, he's not a three-point champion. He's not a dunk contest winner. He's, I don't know, he hasn't even won a skills challenge. Like, give us something.
He is one of those guys that all the coaches talk very highly of and would love to have them in the squad. And you know.
So I realize I think, there could be a team of those. Kawhi Leonard would be on that team.
Yeah, it's true. Like a hard worker off the court,
just really fundamentally amazing basketballer.
Yeah,
but hobby wise, doesn't attract that. What do we call it? Frazier factor. He just doesn't get that hype.
Well, it's interesting with Dame because I mean he's got the whole rap career and stuff as well.
Correct.
But it never really took off. I mean, I think the probably the, you know, if he went to Miami, it could be different because Miami's that kind of place and way more celebs, and you know, he could probably be in the news a lot more doing
that's a really
cool,
good point.
Cool things. He's not going to necessarily be able to do that in Milwaukee.
Well, you can imagine pairing him up. All
play ball. You know, that's the thing. A very focused Dame with a Giannis could be quite interesting. You know, because he's not going to have many distractions. He's by himself. You know, he can focus. He may be very, very, very pissed off and wanting to.
Oh, he'll definitely have a chip on his shoulder, won't he?
Which would be very interesting to see, like a motivated, angry, you know, point to prove Dame.
I would have rather seen him with Jimmy Butler. Can you imagine the shenanigans they would have got up to in Miami?
Yeah, but that means we would have had to get what's his face?
Tyler Herro.
Yeah. Get out of here.
But I'm like, media wise, but you know what I mean? Like Giannis doesn't get in the spotlight. That you're right. On the Heat, he would have been a media guy. In Milwaukee, he's just gonna go to work. And that's good for the winning side of things.
Yeah.
But for the hobby side of things, is that a little bit? I mean, winning changes it all, doesn't it?
Yep.
They win the title this year, then Dame's hobby value increases.
Giannis has said all the right things so far. So I think they're going to be a great partnership and they're going to be a great team to watch this year. I think they're going to be successful. But
those two guys both attacking at the same time is going to be pretty fun to watch, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be a sick pick and roll at the very least. Yeah. You know, like that's,
They're going to be hard to stop.
So just, so again, we actually talked about this the other day on the show, but just bear with me for a second here. The reason why I don't think his hobby value is going to spike is because there's another guard that recently has played for the Bucks who won a championship. He's just been traded, Drew Holiday. Now, this is not a fair one-to-one comparison. Portland legend,
just by the way.
Yeah. So Drew Holiday, rookie on-card autograph number to 599, last sold for $15 US. A rookie patch autograph sold for $33 USD. Like, I don't think it's a home run that you say you go to the Bucks, you win a championship and your hobby value 2x's or 3x's or 5x's. I'm not sure that is something you should rely on because
I'm just saying he's probably, he'd probably move from resume. 30. He'd move from 30.
Yeah.
I think Lillard's resume improves with a championship. Especially if he's missed like the clutch player that he's made out to be in the playoffs.
I think,
like, you know what I mean? Like he's got to live up to his reputation in big moments.
Yeah, if he performs on the stage, it will move the needle for him. Yeah. I mean, 30, you know, I'd say there's a whole bunch of names on that list that he could easily leapfrog.
No, but I don't actually disagree with anything you're saying, but what I'm like, the point I'm trying to make is he's 30th on the list. And actually, I think that's kind of where Damian Lillard sits in the world of things. It's just like how Bradley Beal sits at 49, you know, Lillard sits at 30. And to take your point, Paris, he definitely should be above at least five people in that 30 to 21 range. So
I've got him at least at 29. There's one guy at number five that I would be get rid of. no, you're right. I don't think success necessarily jumps him into the top 10, but it doesn't rocket him out of it. Like I think there's a possibility of positive movement.
Yeah,
maybe this is the lowest point for him. He can't really
fall. I think he'll be steady there. I think he's steady there.
Yeah, for sure. Like to me, he should be above the likes of Bam, Siakam, Reeves, Ingram. Mm. Just me, just in my head, just straight away.
He's above Reeves in my head.
He should be above those guys.
I think Reeves is positively impacted, though, just the fact of how hot he is at the moment. And the prices that Reeves stuff is going for at the moment is actually ridiculous. Like some of his patch autograph stuff is like 400 USD, 450 USD. Like it's
I suppose the way how I look at that is like I can't see Reeves having a better career than what Dame has. It's just the Lakers spotlight, that sort of thing, you know, which is a higher because
it's the spotlight, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So that's how I sort of see that. Mm. That's all right.
Okay, guys, I think what we'll do is we'll take a break now and we'll end this episode here and we'll come back with part two of the Codex Lads podcast. And I'll put that up in the next couple of days. So please tune in and hear the rest of the breakdown. Thanks again for listening and have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.